No, this one not. Gentlemen, I think you all know the news that's coming out of America from Erev Shmini Atzeret to this very moment. No. How a prominent rabbi was caught, arrested, and unfortunately, again, didn't stand trial yet. But it's a terrible, terrible thought and a terrible report and a terrible, terrible, I would say, dream, if someone ever dreamed such a disgusting dream, that a man that deals with conversions and whatnot would look at naked women in the mikveh secretly. It's just beyond comprehension. And yet, the Gemara, the Mishnah says explicitly in Pirkei Avot, that there's three things that Motziya to Adam in HaOlam, and one of them is taiva. And we all have taivas. And sometimes taiva is very healthy. For example, last week's parsha, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'hineh tov me'od, only on the sixth day of creation does it say tov me'od, not just tov. Chazal say, what's tov me'od? Yetzer ha'tov v'yetzer hara. So we understand yetzer ha'tov is a good thing. Why is yetzer hara, the evil inclination, a good thing? The answer is because sometimes when you're jealous of another person, you try to work hard to make it like him. So it's not such a terrible thing to have a yetzer, to have a taiva, to do better. On the other hand, when it's not controlled, we got a big problem. So on the one hand, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised how many women and men look at pornography today, and it's so available on the internet. And yet, when a rabbi does such things, it makes you shiver and shake. It makes you shiver and shake, especially if it's a prominent rabbi. And I just want to make one statement regarding it. One second. I want to make one statement regarding it that I think is important. And I'm going to digress and not digress. Every year we go through an experience of Bereshit and Noach before we get to Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha onwards is very easy for us Jews because that's in our backyard. You know, Lech Lecha, Zionism. We all made Aliyah. We can talk about that. We can give it to all the Jews outside of Israel. Vayera, Kedas Yitzchak, shofar, Jewish. Chayesara, Chevron, burying, Avelus. These are all Jewish things. It's like talking about children from Kugel and gefilte fish. But we Jews have a problem with Bereshit and Noach. What's our problem? There's nothing Jewish there. Like, where's the Jewishness? Adam Arishon. So he ate from the forbidden fruit. You know, I don't know. I looked through Shulchan Aruch. I didn't find anything called the forbidden fruit. I know there's Orla. I know there's Netar Revai. I know there's... What's the forbidden fruit? It was one halacha given to Adam Arishon. It talks about Tzelem Elokim, a divine image. It talks about all these global things, but they're not Jewish, per se. So how can we go through it every year? Our minhag of going through the Torah every year, how come we have to go through Bereshit and Noach before we get to Lech Lecha? And I think the answer is simple, and we said it so many times, but allow me to say it again. We say it every morning in davening. Rav Amital, my Rebbe, used to say that in Europe, when they said every morning, Lo'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim, they would say it like this, Lo'olam Yehe Adam, Kama Yerei Shemayim. First you're an Adam, and then you're a Yerei Shemayim. And without that combination, something's missing. Just to paraphrase what I'm saying, let me throw out a halachic shaila to you. The Chacham Tzvi. You heard of the Chacham Tzvi? Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. You know why they called him Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi? Because he was a Rav in a Sephardi shul. So the Sephardim gave it to him. They called him Ashkenazi. He was a Rav in a Sephardi community. That's why they call him the Chacham Tzvi, because in Sephardic communities, the Rav is called the Chacham. So the Chacham Tzvi has a Shaila. In his Shailot v'tshuvot, in his responsum, can a golem be counted for a minion?
A golem?
Nine people and the golem. You know, they say the Maharal Miprag made a golem. It's probably a fantasy and a fairy tale. But let's just say the Maharal Miprag made a golem, or you made a golem. And we have sources in the Talmud of a golem. So you made a golem. Can a golem be counted for a minion? And the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva about it. Layers later, the Chazon Ish comes along. The Chazon Ish lived in the 20th century and functioned in the 20th century. He says, I don't even understand the beginning of the Shaila. In order to be counted for a minion, you need to be a human being. And a golem is not a human being. Before checking the guy's tzitzis and bris milah, he has to be a human being. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. La'olam yehe adam, and then yirei shamayim. And if we don't have that combination, then something's missing. When Chazal throw out to us from time to time, Rishonim say this as well, lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharet. The Torah wasn't given to angels. Which usually means that we don't have to be so pedantic in doing certain mitzvot because we're not angels. Like when you check for chametz, you don't have to go in to the little crack under your bookshelf to see if there's a crumb there, because lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharet. So says Rabbeinu David, one of the Rishonim on Meseches Psachim. And many other times in halacha we use it. For example, when you check for bugs on your lettuce or whatnot, you check for bugs that are seen by the naked eye. They're not seen by the naked eye. You may be eating bugs, but lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharet. You can't see it. You're a human being. You're not an angel. So therefore, we use it many times. L'heter. To be lenient. I'd like to use it l'chumrah. To be stringent. We're not angels. We're human beings. We're absolutely human beings. And human beings means first and foremost Bereshit and Noach. And then Lech Lecha and onwards. First it means that you have a divine image. And you have a divine image, you better live up to that divine image. Because you have an image of God, part of God in you, you better live up to it. You have a godly part of you. That's Parshat Bereshit. In Parshat Noach you see how against all odds, one little Noach is able to maintain his Tzelem Elokim. And he also falls, he gets drunk one night. Like all human beings fall. That's why we have a Yom Kippur on the calendar every single year. There isn't a year that it's not there. But he was able against all odds to maintain his Tzelem Elokim. And even when you go ahead and you eat meat, which was given to Noach after he left the Teva, it has to be done in a certain way. Not an Eiver Min HaChai way, where you just take a chicken, you pluck off a polka and you eat it. And thus, in order to get to the Yirei Shamayim, first be an Adam. You need the Bereshit in Noach before the Lech Lecha. Because without the Bereshit in Noach, don't start talking to me about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharat HaMishpacha and Davening and all the Jewish things. Talk to me about the basics. How to be a human being. How to say hello to someone in the street. This morning, I mean, I'm still living it up. I don't know what happened. A guy davens with me every single day in the Minyan. And he left shul before me. He was able to run to get a newspaper and come back. And I'm walking out of shul, and he's holding the paper like this, and I walk by him, and I say, good morning. And he looks at me, and he looks back at his paper. That's a gentleman that didn't go through Bereshit and Noach. He jumped to Lech Lecha. He'll talk to you about Aliyah. He'll talk to you about Aliyah. No question. But would he be able to talk to you about the word Kiddush Hashem versus Chilul Hashem, sanctifying God's name versus desecrating it? I'm not so sure. He will be able to tell me there's three Averos in the Torah that are cardinal sins: Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Damim, Avodah Zarah, adultery, idolatry, and of course murder. That'll be able to talk to me about. That's part of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. But there's another part, and we repeated it many times, and then we're going to repeat it 1,000 times. And from my perspective, you should know it at 2 o'clock in the morning when they wake you up. Page 115 in the book that we're learning this year. Meseches Yom Adaf Peivav Amud Aleph. Mi sheyesh chilul Hashem biyado. Whoever desecrated God's name, en lo koach lo b'tshuva liklot, v'lo b'yubis t'purim l'chaper, v'lo b'yisirin l'marek, ela kulan tolon umita m'mareket. The only way you can get atonement for doing a chilul Hashem, for desecrating God's name, is death. Yom Kippur doesn't help. Suffering doesn't help. Nothing helps. So what's Chilul Hashem? What's Kiddush Hashem? Gemara defines. How many of us have ever been with a gun to our heads and they say, bow down to the idol or I'll kill you? Raise your hands. How many of us have been in a situation where they said to us, kill him or I'll kill you? How many of us have been in a situation where they say, sleep with your sister? I don't think any of us have ever been in that situation, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara talks about it as if it's like a practical thing, or the Gemara is talking about this far-fetched case. Same Gemara. Amar Abaye Amar, says Abaye, Ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, and you shall love your God. Where is that pasuk from? Thank you. Shema. One person's listening this morning. Baruch Hashem. Your name, sir?
Reuven.
Reuven says Shema. We say it twice a day. You ever think about what it means? Love your God. How do I love God? What do? I say, God, I love you! There's a certain sect out there that does that within the Jewish religious community. How do you love God? How do you mekayim the pasuk? We say twice a day, v'ahavta Hashem lokacha. I want to fulfill, love your God. How do I do it? Says the Gemara, she'eshem shamayim mitahev al yadecha. That the name of God should be loved by others by looking at you. In other words, they look at you and they say, ah, if you're a religious Jew and you worship God, your God must be beyond anything else. What does that mean? The Gemara tells you, she'eh koreu shonel mishamesh talmidei chachamim. You should be learning, you should have kavod for rabbis. Next on the list, listen carefully. What would be next on the list in your opinion? After you give kavod to Rav, to the Rav.
Kavod
to your parents. Tefillin every day. Minyan three times a day. Running to a shir. Daf yomi. No. What's next on the list? Sheyem masa'o umatano benachat im habriyot. When you deal with another person in business, masa'o matan, it should be benachat. What's nachat? Pleasant. People should find it pleasant to talk to you. You're not a hard person to talk to. You're not an unpleasant person to have a conversation with. You're pleasant. You have a smile on. You begin with a smile. You end with a smile. Next on the list.
Where does friar fit in with that? Where does being a friar fit in with that?
A friar?
You know what a friar is?
I know what a friar is. Well, what does that have to do?
I feel like a lot of the business in Israel...
I hope you're wrong, but I don't think you have to be a friar, God forbid, in business. I'm just saying, masama matano benachat. When you do business, you don't have to scream and yell and curse and shout and threaten. You can do it in a pleasant way. When you have to ask your neighbor, please don't make noise, is a way of doing it. For example, you can go up to your neighbor and say, "May stop making noise, I'm calling the police." Or you can go to your neighbor and say, "Listen, I have children that are police going to sleep. Do you mind putting down the noise?" There's a difference. You're asking the same thing. Ma briot omrot alav, what do people say about him? Ashrei aviv shelamado Torah, ashrei rabo shelamado Torah, oy lahem labriot shelo lamdo Torah, ploni shelamado Torah, ukama na'im derachav. When people look at him, they say, wow, whoever taught him Torah, this person's amazing. What is he doing?
Kiddush Hashem.
How is he doing a Kiddush Hashem?
By being a nice guy.
By being a nice guy, by being a human being. By being a dignified human being. So Chilul Hashem, the Gemara says, is exactly the opposite. Ein masa'o matano be'emuna, ve'ein diburo b'nachat im abriyot. When a person's unpleasant, when a person is vicious, and when a person is someone that you just can't stand talking to, then it's a Chilul Hashem. Gentlemen, that's why Bereshit and Noach have to come before Lech Lecha. First be a mensch, then be a Yerei Shamayim. Yes.
Yes, with the news that came out of Frankfurt, Germany. You heard? These people, what happened
months
and years ago,
well,
this is Frankfurt, Germany,
chicken.
Was once the place.
What?
Butcher
shops.
Yeah.
Selling trade.
Supposedly kosher meat all over Europe.
It happened, yes. It happened in months and years ago, and yes, I heard of that too.
Frankfurt, Germany.
Again, gentlemen. Taiva, kavod, and of course making money. Motzita adam min ha'olam. Chazal prophesied this years ago, there's no question. And some of these things are very healthy. You want to obviously have a good life for your family, you try to work hard, that's absolutely dignified. But how do you do it? You do it by stealing and by telling people that what's kosher is treif? By saying you're doing a conversion and then you make sure to put a camera in there so you can see them naked in the mikveh? Or you do it honestly? You do it in a dignified way. You do it in a way where Bereshit and Noach is the standpoint, is the basics, is the foundation upon which you add on the Lech Lecha and everything afterwards. And I have a feeling that in our community, we don't talk about this enough. We love to talk about the Jewish stuff. But before the real Jewish stuff, you have to be a mensch. Remember that tshuva of the Chazon Ish. Beautiful tshuva. I love it. How can you even think a golem can be counted for a minion? First you need to be a mensch. You need to be a human being. Then you can be asked, is he Jewish, not Jewish, etc. But first be a mensch. First be a mensch! And that ultimately, gentlemen, is what bothers me to no end. I have a feeling that the Bereshit and the Noach, all right, two parshas of the year, but you know, Lech Lecha has that heavy ammunition in it. That's Tzionut, that's Zionism, that's going to Israel. Ah, that's the stuff. Hakedas Yitzchak, all these Jewish stuff, we can talk about it. That's the Chulin Tekugel Gefilte Fish. But oh, talking about recycling? Globally, the world is maybe coming to an end, you have to recycle? No, this is not for us. This is absolutely for us. How do I know it's for us? Yeshayahu prophesies we have to be an Or LaGoyim, a light upon the nations. How do you become a light upon the nations? What light do we have to shine to the nations? So we have to show them how to keep Shabbos? We have to show them how to make a cup of tea on Shabbos with a kli shini and a kli shlishi? That's what Or LaGoyim means? Does Or LaGoyim mean that we have to show them how to build a kosher sukkah? Does Or LaGoyim mean we have to show them how long a kiyah has to be before a shvarim teruah?
Like
what's Or LaGoyim mean?
When Israel flies out and takes care of people in earthquakes and disasters.
That's exactly Or LaGoyim. If we have a tzelem elokim, and then the Mishnah goes on to say that the Jewish people have more than a tzelem elokim, they're called banim lamakom, they're the children of God, they have more of a responsibility than the tzelem elokim. If everyone has to be a dignified human being, then we have to be dignified human beings to the second power. And we have to be the example of being honest and straight and being moral and ethical. We have to be the Bereshit and Noach before the Lech Lecha much more than the rest of humanity, not less. Not pride ourselves that, oh, in a few weeks, guess what's going to happen? In the same jailhouse, there's going to be a former president, a former prime minister, and a former chief rabbi. Ah, let's all joke about it at the Shabbos table. That's a joke? We should rip our shirts. That's an absolute, unequivocal chilul Hashem to the highest degree. This is what we have to pride ourselves with. And we make jokes about it. Ah, we have to go be in the same jail. It'll be a daf yomi. Oh, beautiful. Everything's going to be wonderful. You want to get married, you got a rabbi. You want to know how to embezzle money, you got the prime minister. You want to know how to rape women, you got the president. Oh, this is great. How in God's name are we making jokes about these things? And when we make jokes about it, are you surprised that other rabbis feel, oh, you know, I can look at naked women, it's all right. Because look, people make jokes about it, it's all right. And pornography, it's sold everywhere. So like, you know, Nasad of Arkeheter, Bereshit and Noach before Lech Lecha. That is the goal every year. We started the year with Bereshit and Noach. That's the way we come out of Simchas Torah. God says, you want to be happy with the Torah? First Bereshit and Noach. Then comes Lech Lecha. Yeah.
Is there anything anti-halachic about if the meeting would be, you know, Torah, publicize, you know, the public when someone's accused? They're not convicted of it yet. Because once you hear this accusation, I don't know, you know, it's pleading not guilty, so there's be some defense perhaps. But we have a presumption that he did something.
Again, I don't know if he did it or not. He was not convicted yet. But the very fact that it came out, the very fact that it's in the news, requires us to ask ourselves, are we, the Jewish community, myself, my family, my community, and my wider community, are we internalizing the message of a Tzelem Elokim of a Bereshit and Noach before the Lech Lecha, or we're not?
I'm just curious if it was run according to Halakha, would they be able to publicize information like that?
I don't understand the question.
Someone's accused of something.
Could they let the world know?
Okay, you're asking a very sophisticated halachic question that I can't answer within a minute, but I will try on one foot to say as follows. The Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote the books on Lashon Hara, mainly talks about what you can say, not what you can't say. He doesn't say, ah, in order to avoid Lashon Hara, keep your mouth shut from the day you can talk to the day you die. This way you don't do Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim was such a sweet individual that he knew how to talk to people. And they would just stop the Lashon Hara. So if I can answer your question halachically, I would say as follows. The Chafetz Chaim paskins, and this is the halacha, if it's l'to'elet, if something is for the benefit of someone, then you can say Lashon Hara, quote-unquote, about him. Sorry. Or to be more precise, it's not Lashon Hara. because it's l'to'elet. In other words, if you're just going to say, you know, this guy lost $1 million, that's mamish lashon hara. But if you're saying this guy, we have very credible evidence that he's looking at naked women in the mikveh, then obviously I think you have to tell people that's l'to'elet. Don't deal with this guy until those accusations are taken off the table and he's either convicted or totally and utterly, what's the opposite of convicted in English?
Exonerated
from everything he said. That's absolutely the to'elet, and I think you have to tell people about it, 100%. But you have to have something credible in your hand. You can't just hear what they said between Mincha and Ma'ariv. You have to have something credible in your hands. Not just a Facebook post, but something credible. And when the police go ahead and arrest the guy, and you see that there's reports and there's whatnot, and you found the cameras and you saw him doing it and whatnot, then you obviously it's more credible than just someone that has a little yente that says something between Mincha Ma'ariv.
But even if it's true, you shouldn't be saying it because it's lashon
hara. No, if it's true and it's l'to'elet, in other words, someone can be hurt by it, then you have to tell the person. If a person's about to buy a car from a salesman, and you know the salesman is not honest, then you have a mitzvah to tell him this salesman is not honest. No. You know the information, you have to say it. If it's credible. So I know a salesman that sells cars, that's not honest. His mom is a pathological liar. Just a pathological liar. He looks you in the face, and he's a liar. And he admits it. So that person, I heard a neighbor of mine coming to Israel, fresh off the boat, wants to buy a car from him. I felt an obligation, halachically, to tell him, I believe you should not do business with this man. They asked me why. I told them exactly why. I told them the story, and I said, it didn't happen to Yenim, it happened to me. But ultimately,
we don't have a tour.
There you have to tell people. If it's stam, because you enjoy saying something bad about someone, that's lashon hara. That's absolutely usur. But it's l'to'elet. And obviously, it's not only mutter, I believe, it's chayiv. You have to tell the person. You absolutely.
How do you know when he's, let's say, started a second, second track or a new slate?
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to investigate. You have to know. You have to go ahead and take responsibility for what you say. You have to know what you're saying. It's very easy to throw around rumors about people. Absolutely. This is not a shir on lashon hara, but in general, that's exactly a challenge of lashon hara. Knowing how to speak, knowing how to not to speak idle, and that middle ground that we just spoke about is very challenging.
Is there any group or groups or somebody trying to accomplish what you just spoke about in terms of making us better humans as opposed to better halakhic Jews anywhere? Because one of the things that's always bothered me, like the reform movement in America, they're real big on social justice, but they don't get it because they've got the American values, not, let's say, Jewish values, to try and be social justice people, to use their term. And I'm wondering, is anybody doing this here? Because once again,
there are very various groups, but I'm going to... I have to say, there are various groups, but in my humble opinion, the way you've just divided the Jewish world is what I bemoan. In other words, we religious Jews should be the first people to talk about what's called tikkun olam today, for lack of a better term, and we should be the first people to talk about Shmirah Shabbos. But unfortunately, every group is taking one of these things and putting it at the top of the pedestal and saying, this is the mitzvah, and everything else is like on the sidelines. Of course, the world is important. Of course, being a human being is important. I'm saying that we Jews indeed have a hard job. We have to be both dignified human beings. Then we have to be banim lamakom, which is even a higher level of being a dignified human being. And then we have to also keep Shabbos, and we also have to keep kashrus. And all of them are equally important. And if you get mad at your children because they're texting on Shabbos, but you don't get mad at your children when they cheat on the test, then something's wrong. And if you get mad at your children because they're cheating on a test, but if on Shabbos all they do is they sit at the table like this, and when you sing Zmiros, they're still sitting like this, and they make Kiddush, they're barely listening, and you're not upset about that, then there's something wrong as well. We Jews indeed have what I like to call two hats. I don't know how many of you wear hats. I don't wear a hat, but we literally have two hats. It's not easy. I sometimes envy the non-Jews. They have one hat. They have Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and they have to be dignified human beings. They have seven commandments, and that's it. We Jews have to do that, plus hundreds of more. And ultimately, we have three obligations, as the Vilna Gaon said. Ben Adam La'atzmo, obligation between me and myself. Ben Adam l'makom, between me and God, Shabbos, etc., and Ben Adam l'chaviro, between me and my fellow human being. The mitzvah of tzedakah, for example, very hard mitzvah. It's not charity. Charity means out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to do something I don't need to do. Tzedakah is a halacha. Tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, which means what? Justice. Justice. That's a very hard mitzvah. Non-Jews don't have that mitzvah. They want to give charity, they can give charity. They don't want to give, they don't want to give. We have a halacha of tzedakah. That's much, much, much harder. Sorry, Jeff, I didn't see you with your hand up.
This week, I read a letter that was published openly to this Hananiah, head of Hamas. Israel was in the news, treated his daughter and other members of his family. And the letter said, "You pledge your allegiance to our destruction, so take your daughter to Gaza for treatment. We don't have an obligation to treat her."
Who said this?
It was a letter that somebody wrote.
And it was through, I saw it through Shmuel Socket of the
MIT. I don't understand. A Jew wrote this?
Yes.
No, rabbi in the hospital said he's very upset.
Very upset.
How can his son go off to battle, risking his life from these terrorists, and now he's taking care of this guy's daughter for one? Let them take it somewhere else.
Right. So we how would you respond to such a letter? Based on higher standards?
To treat
I think that a doctor has to treat anyone that's sick.
He's not bumping into the street. I mean, that's one thing.
It's a different story. If a person needs to be in a rehabilitation.
Well, so the hospital is saying, listen, we don't know who we're sending. We don't
you're not asking a very hard question, in my opinion. I think the question is very simple. If someone's hurt, we treat him. We don't look who he is and what he is. That's exactly the halacha of Miknei Tikkun Olam, and that's exactly what the Chazal prophesized. Okay, having said that, when you talk about not treatment, but going to a doctor, and not because you want to go to a doctor because you're sick or because you're dangerously ill, but rather for ongoing treatment, then obviously there's limited resources. And the issue of triage in halacha is a very sophisticated one, both within the Jewish community and outside the Jewish community. And there's many things and factors take into consideration when you talk about triage. But gentlemen, I want to again reiterate what I said, and I say it again and again. We have to be equally upset when someone doesn't say hello to you on the street, just like we're equally upset when we see Chilul Shabbos. We have to be equally upset about someone that's been in jail for embezzlement of money, just like we're equally upset when someone doesn't keep kosher. It's difficult, it's hard, it's much easier to be a man, as you said, with Jewish garb, pushing you off the bus, but making sure to make the minyan, or a person who can care less about minyan, no tefillin, talis, no issue whatsoever, and yet I'm a dignified human being, I say hello and goodbye. It's much easier to be one or the other. It's much more difficult to be what I call a Shomer Torah Mitzvot, which is Adam and Yirei Shamayim, which is a Bereshit in Noach, together with a Lech Lecha and onwards.